broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. Wherever you are in the universe, I bid you good morning, good evening, or whatever it could be. Tonight's guest is Trey Smith. Trey Smith is one of these Bible scholars that I have had the honor of meeting in person, talking with. He's got an interesting backstory. It's on his website. If you want to know more about Trey, I suggest you go up there, and it's godinanutshell.com. Go up there, browse some of his stuff. One of his top leading subjects that he has right now is demons and aliens. And there's so much evidence in the Bible, in other texts, that would make you believe, whether or not if you're a Christian or not. That's not the subject tonight. The subject tonight is what was written many, 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 many thousands of years ago proves the fact that either extraterrestrials, aliens, demons, something definitely was there. What do you have to say to that, Trey?
I don't know. It sounds so horribly kooky, all of it. You know, Matt, I'm just happy to be doing a radio show again with you. The thing that I'm looking at in front of me as I do this radio show with you, so a video that I should have delivered really weeks ago, but will actually be one of the best we've made. I always believe that. This one goes through, there are two really. So this one goes through the Nakash, or the serpent that was in the garden. And the second one goes through the legends of the flood, but I could read you right in front of this will go along with the title of your video. If I come right over here, there's a set of stones that a lot of your listeners probably haven't heard about called the Enuma Elish. And this comes from ancient Samaria. And this is the creation account. It's on a set of seven stones. And the Tiamat is the mother goddess serpent. And is the creator god in this Enuma Elish, in this set of stones. And it's also called the glistening one. So the serpent is called the glistening one. Now, the Nakash, or the serpent in the garden, that's what's getting translated as serpent, is this word Nakash. And it's really got three definitions in one. So it means serpent. It means to be divine. And it also means the shining one. So this Tiamat and also the Nakash sound a lot like the same creature. The Tiamat creates, and this is in the Enuma Elish. Sorry, my voice is going out a little bit, but I'm thrilled. You know, Matt, I'm thrilled to be talking to you again because it's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
Since I've done a show with you. And I'd like to come down there and see you again in a couple of months and just hang out with you. And that's where the Clements live. But anyhow, I'll shut up about that. So the Tiamat creates the other gods and the demons. And in fact, the minister for the Tiamat is Gaga. So Gaga is the minister for the Tiamat. In fact, you could pull a lot of the themes of your modern music, your modern movies, some of the most successful alien films, all from that set of seven stones.
Interesting. So on your website, you have a ton of different videos. You've got things from, you got ancient discovery videos that are just, people can go up there, grab them. They can purchase the DVDs. Here's the thing. You've got so much research in all of this stuff. You've talked to tons of different people. One of the topics that keeps coming up over and over and over, it seems to me, is there is no way that we could have Christianity and aliens together as one. How is that possible?
What do you mean by that? Well, okay, so what do you mean by that, Matt?
Well, you've either got a bunch of alien races and evolution is true, or you have Christianity that could be true. And you're obviously taking the stance that Christianity is true, and your documentation and all the stuff that you have proves that. And it's interesting to me that you have this, a film based on aliens / demons is what it looks like.
I think even a lot of the larger New Agers and a lot of them watch the films that are up there and get really excited about them. But I think a lot of them have even veered away from the aliens being aliens, that it's, you know, it's more of a dimensional thing, and that it's a, you know, that largely it's a deceptive thing. But I think that that's what the Bible has been stating, you know, at its onset. The entire Bible is telling you that you're in an environment that's teeming with life, and that it's somehow dimensional in scope. And throughout the Bible, you're reading about angels that are making entrance this place. And the word angel just means a messenger from God. But you've got a lot of different characters, and the serpent is a deceptive character that's making entrance this place. In Enoch, you've got 200 fallen angels that make entrance this place, and they breed with the women, and you've got this strange offspring that occurs. And so this word Nephilim, that includes things like giants. Well, you've got a battery of different things in the ancient past. In fact, Tammuz, this character that you have with Nimrod and his wife Inanna, or birthed through the Enki on the Sumerian stones. This character Tammuz is part goat, and it's part man. And I don't know if that's literal or if that's, you know, if that's figurative, but there's, you know, Matt, there's just a wealth of strange things.
So that's right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question. So you got all this stuff that's written down, and I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. And we're probably going to have to cover some of this when we get back from the break. You've got ancient stories telling these things. You've got basically all of... I don't even want to get to this. Okay. You've got all these ancient stories written down of all of these offspring, all of this crazy stuff, all of this pre-flood stuff of... You know, man mating, or, you know, females mating with these entities. Where's the archaeology evidence? Do you have any of that information?
Where's the archaeology evidence? You know, Matt, that's a great question.
We're gonna hit that when we come up back from the break.
Yeah, let me actually, Matt. Yeah, do let me think about that over the break.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. I'm Matt Aaron. Our guest tonight is Trey Smith. And Trey Smith, I asked him the question. In the Bible, it talks about all these different things of man mating with the daughters of men. Ancient aliens coming here in the flood. was done to destroy the genetic manipulation of the human race. So I asked the question, if that's really the case, where is the evidence in the archaeology? And Trey's the guy that's been studying this subject for quite a while. And I guess I threw you off guard. I threw you a really hard ball there for a second. But you took a look at some of your notes, I think. Where do you want to start on this?
Well, actually, sitting right here on the desk when I'm talking to you, I guess the most obvious thing would be the elongated skulls. There's actually two of them that are sitting right here in front of me. So you've got, and these are something that. You're right, man. I have talked about these for a lot of years and a lot of times. But you have two different types of them. So you've got the elongated skulls that have got the same head volume as a regular human skull. And you can even see on them where they bind the head as children. So they're trying to copy something, is the theory on that. And you have large collections of these in places like Peru, and some of them are really dramatic. Then you've got this second type that are generally thought to be royalty at these sites, these megalithic temples. And they're clearly not headbound. And in fact, they have a different skull structure, what I define as a skull cap on the back. So you've got three... You've got three major plates on your head. So you've got three, and they're called parietal plates. And they're divided up by these suture lines, so your skull kind of fits together. And every human skull on the planet that I know of has these, and has the three of them. Well, the natural, I might call it, elongated skulls, or the ones that have the larger head volume, and they're just genuinely kind of weird. They only have two of these. They have a giant skull cap on the back. And this isn't because the line has somehow gone away, and head binding can't produce that effect. So there's something, even in just that one aspect of the skull, there's something genetically different about them. Now, does that mean that they came from space or that they walked out of another dimension? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There's a lot of weird things on this planet. In fact, you have, let me finish with these. So they have a larger head volume. They have wide eye sockets. You generally find them around large megalithic sites. They're believed to be royalty. Those sites, the further back in time that you go, the more of a marvel they are for modern engineers. For example, how the stones fit together. So the more recent in time, the poorer the construction of these sites are. The further back in time you go, the more that they marvel at them. These strange creatures, whatever they are, appear to be what the locals were copying when they were doing the head binding. Now, hand in hand with that, when you take a character, like you might read about Tammuz in ancient Sumeria, well, this would be a horned character. Well, if you look at pictures that we had from the 18th, the early 1900s, you have artifacts like this where you had actual, what were believed to be actual horned skulls. But we can't examine any of them because most of those artifacts were stolen. And to be very frank with you, I think a lot of your universities were doing this kind of thing. They would break in, and for their little elite groups, they would steal artifacts like that. And in fact, I think most of the best stuff that you've got on Earth is not kept in museums. That's where the junk stuff ends up. Most of the best artifacts in the world are in private collections and in palaces of kings. Most all of them would be pre-flood artifacts. So in asking, is there physical evidence of really weird stuff on this planet? Yes, there is. There's quite a lot of it. There's a lot of it in South America, and I think that's largely because it's been less capped, if you will, than the Middle East or Egypt or some of these places.
What about the news articles that were in, I can't remember in the newspapers, but there was in, maybe you know what I'm talking about, but there was news articles about the giants that were found, and they were given to the Smithsonian, and they found them here in the United States. And if you go research, I think you can find them. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's legends of, now I'm not familiar exactly with what the Smithsonian did with them, but I've certainly read the articles about that. And it's, this has happened with batteries of all sorts of artifacts where they disappear, but go ahead, Matt.
I was asking you because I know very little about it, and this is like your full-time thing. So that's why I was asking you.
Well, another little artifact that I'm sitting here with, I'll tell you. So a lot of these legends from around the world. So I'm sitting here with a little idol, not because I have little idols around, but because I'm using it for a video. And I actually bought this from an Indian store up the road. And I've interviewed quite a few of these people about their beliefs, these folks. And so this has got Lord Shiva, and it has, I forgot her name. I have been up late. It's got his wife, and their child is a half-human, half-creature little thing. It's called the Ganesh. He's actually got a little elephant head. And Shiva has his trident or his little pitchfork thing. Now, these guys here, this little trinity of guys, which is, of course, very similar to your trinity of gods. If you have Osiris, Isis, and Horus is this little half-man, half-creature offspring. It actually has a bird head. And the same thing with Tammuz. So you have Nimrod, Inanna, and Tammuz. So all of these trinities kind of go back to ancient Sumeria, but in the case of this, where you've got Shiva, and you've got the Ganesh, and you've got whatever her name is, they're actually believed to live to this day on Mount Kailash, which is on the border of China and India. That's actually, so when you read articles about China and India wanting to go to war with each other, and China would win that, by the way, and they may end up with it, this is about the Tibetan mountains out there and about that Mount Kailash. And China would really like control of it because India, Tibet, and China all believe in these gods and believe they live atop that mountain, Mount Kailash. So it's a model of a mountain where the gods lived, just like the Titans came from Mount Olympus, or the angels came down on Mount Hermon. And pilgrims go from India, China, and Tibet to that mountain every year, and they walk around the base of Mount Kailash. And they look up at it, and they hope to see the gods up there. But these stories all go back to an earlier origin that I think, you know, stretches from ancient Sumeria.
So one of the common things that, as far as alien abductions go, and I've talked to a lot of different people on alien abduction, especially doing this show, and the biggest thing is sexual experiments, splicing of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Taking in having babies, having alien-human hybrids. There's actually cases that this Harvard doctor was studying, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but there was two people that two girls that were pregnant, and the baby disappeared afterwards. They didn't have an abortion, and they were supposedly virgins on top of that. And the whole thing revolves around some sort of genetics. It's really strange. I mean, cattle mutilations are on the sexual organs of the cattle. I mean, you look at this common thread. It really makes you wonder what exactly is going on.
I honestly, Matt, you know what I think? I think those things that they're seeing that come in the room with them, that physically appear in the room with them, that they believe that they're on a spaceship with, I honestly believe that those things are with them and moving around with them all the time. And let me tell you what first comes to my mind, and we could talk about that other stuff that was always the thing, right? The big kick with the alien stuff. They're there for the eggs and the semen, right? And they've traveled light years and from other planets to come get this. But the first thought that comes to mind, I guess even sitting here right now when you said that, was back when I first started doing these videos, there were a number of people who were becoming successful also doing kind of, one of them was an atheist, actually named it Amazing Atheist is what he called himself. And I was never against the guy. I wrote him, I told him this when I wrote to him, that I wasn't going to, you know, badmouth him or try to make fun of him or anything like that. He had put up a tape on his YouTube channel. And mainly he did really absurd stuff. Like he would, you know, he would just cuss about Jesus a lot, or he would maybe molest a Jesus statue. And I mean, just really things like this, really, you know, whatever he could do to get some views. But even the news media like CNN, and I'm not sure what stations, but he had at that time, you know, they had done some interviews with them or whatnot. So he, for atheists, I guess he was an up and coming one. But this is what I know. Is that one night, and he may have been drunk, I think that he pulled the tape down, and he came off like he'd had a few drinks and he was just sort of laying a story on you. But he started talking about how his whole life that he had, in fact, I've actually got the tape saved, but I wouldn't use it.
Tell you what, Trey, when we come back from the break, we're going to find out what this tape says. The Atheist's Tape. Going to figure it out. 1-833-880-9899 if you want to join us. Trey Smith is our guest. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Our guest tonight is Trey Smith. If you want to join us, 1-833-880-9899. 1-833-880-9899. Talking about the strange and weird with aliens, demons, all kinds of crazy with Trey Smith here. He's got a website, godinanutshell.com. It's got all kinds of videos up there that you can get up there, watch, and see. A lot of interesting stuff up there. And we were talking about this interesting story of this atheist on YouTube. And he posted something on YouTube. And then after he did, he pulled it. And you were going to tell the story about what he was saying.
Yeah, he was seeing druids in his room. I mean, this was what he was walking through, and he of course is an atheist. He's got to excuse this in his own mind. I mean, these were his claims that there were druids that even when he was a child seemed very, very real to him, like so real he believed that these things were in the room with him.
Now, for the listeners that don't know what a druid is.
Well, these were some kind of, like the little characters on Star Wars, little druid guy. They've got a, a little toga looking thing on, but little creatures that have had some kind of a toga on. And that was another aspect that I think he described about him, that it wasn't like a set of people appearing in his room, but these were, you know, some kind of, you know, alien looking creature that had a, you know, a hood on, a dark hood on. And there were numerous of them. And apparently the reason he did the video on it was because, and a psychologist had apparently got him convinced that that this was something that was just in his head. And it was just very vivid and very real, and he needed to medicate it on something. Well, anyhow, the reason he did the video on that occasion was because apparently this had happened to him again. And he said that that these things had appeared to him at points that had him literally at one point where he had watched a thing walk in the closet, and he just laid there and looked at the closet door. But it was so real that he believed that in that he had to work up the courage to go walk over to the closet and open the door, because he thought when he did, something was going to jump out of there at him. But it didn't. But apparently this had just happened to him again. And that's why he had done the video. And he was kind of expressing that that it had felt so real. And it was like they had just walked out of thin air and walked into the room with him. And he said that on that occasion, he had worked up the courage to just throw a punch at one of them. And I don't think he was just trying to, you know, show off or whatever. It was actually, I think he was just fed up with it and stating he saw these things. They looked very real, you know, in the back of his mind. My psychologist has told me that they're not real, so I'm just going to throw a punch at it. And he said that his fist went right through the druid's head, and then it kind of dissipated or vanished. And he's standing there in the room alone, and he kind of looked around. And then he said, and I swear to you, he said, I thought I saw the head pop back out of thin air, look at me, wink, and then just go and disappear away. Well, I wrote to him, and I said, I disagree with your psychologist. I think what you're actually dealing with is something that it really is in the room with you. And I don't know if someone else would see it if you were standing there with them or not.
So what's interesting about this story, and you start talking about the psychologist and the psychiatrists and all these different things, they use a manual called the DSM. It's the diagnosis Bible for them.
Tell me about it. I'm not familiar with it.
So in the DSM, demon possession is listed in there.
Well, what does it say about it, Matt?
It completely describes demon possession as you would for modern day whatever. I mean, there's an account in the psychologist handbook on demon possession. And I believe the reason why it exists in there is there are some cases that demon possession becomes so bad, so prevalent that, you know, you get a sanctioned Catholic Church, you know, exorcism, or you get somebody else like Everett Cox that I had on the other night that does a deliverance ministry that exorcises these demons out of these people, and then they're fine afterwards. Why would they have demon possession in the DSM as a definition? It's interesting.
I don't believe it's real.
Well, some do and some don't.
What I found interesting about the, because I went on a whole kick about this, and I had actually forgot about it until you were bringing up the alien stuff a minute ago, and doing it was the first thing I thought about when you brought up the topic of alien possession or alien abduction was, you know, I remembered this whole journey that I went on many years ago, and the Amazing Atheist was just one of them, and his was actually more tastefully phrased, because there was a whole series of people who had had these little tapes who were kind of popular at this or that. But a lot of them were really doing, they were clearly successful in what they were doing, but the content was really offensive or occultic or both, and probably all of it. And really anti-Christian, even though they might not even seen it that way. Some of them music artists and this kind of thing, who had had these little My Alien Abduction type of, commentaries where they might just break down and do a little video and talk to you about these little beings that visit them.
Here is I'm going to stop you for a second. This is from Pub Med NCB something something blah 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 .gov. This is an online version, I guess, of the DSM, and this is what they have under public, not public, but demon possession. Almost all subjects manifest two symptoms of loss of control over their actions and acting differently. They frequently show less awareness of surroundings, loss of personal identity, indistinguishable from reality or fantasy, change of tone of human voice, and loss of perception of sensitivity to pain.
Yeah, they could also be the ones doing the entertaining and the singing and the dancing and all of that, because what I had felt in my spirit when I went on that little journey of looking at it was actually quite a collect. It was like the Lord led me to all these little different tapes of musical artists and this and that and the other, where they were having these experiences with these little entities. And in the Amazing Atheist case, they just happened to be little druids. But these were the little characters who were not only real, but were the ones that were making these people popular people, that were actually doing the singing or they're the reason the Amazing Atheist is out there, fondling statues of Jesus, because, and the thing really did pop its head back out and wink at him.
You look at the Katy Perry song. The Katy Perry song E.T. completely describes the flood story, as far as genetics, as far as all of it. And I don't even think it was intentional. When you start talking about that, I mean, there is some really crazy there's some really crazy stuff here. You look at, here's the lyrics: you're so hypnotizing, you could you be the devil, could you be the angel, your touch so magnetizing, feels like I'm floating, leaving my body glowing. They say to be afraid, you're not like the others, futuristic lover, different DNA, they don't understand you. You from a whole different world, a different dimension. You open my eyes, I'm ready to go. Let the light in. Kiss me. Infect me with your loving. Infect me with your poison. Take me away. Want to be your victim, ready for abduction. I mean, you read that. It's talking about the flood. I mean, it's the whole flood story right here in this song. It's most people would never identify with it, but what was going on, according to biblical records, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's genetic manipulation of the human race.
Yes, and there's also another side to all this, Matt, and that is that people have experiences with the Lord all over the place, and I'm praying that there's more of that. There tends to be a focus on the demonic, and I would agree with you on that. Most all of these people are, they're dealing with things they don't understand. And that's what I was going to tell the amazing atheist guy had he talked to me. He didn't want to talk to me because that's what I would have told him, and he knew it. But there's another side to that, and there's a lot of us that are praying for there to be an amazing awakening. And well, I'll tell you, there's angels.
Well, Trey, when we come back from the break here, what I want to do is I want to talk about some of the political videos that you've been posting. You're talking about a great awakening. What a lot. Trey Smith is our guest. We're going to keep up the good, the strange, the truth from Trey's perspective and mind at this point. 1-833-880-9899 if you want to join us. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Our guest is Trey Smith. We've been talking about all kinds of alien abductions, demons, genetic manipulation to strange creatures being in someone's room at night. Some absolutely crazy stuff, but I think it's all great. This is why we do this. 1-833-880-9899. Before the break, Trey was talking about how we need a great awakening. And I guess, Trey, how would... You've got some political videos you put up. There's a... And I've skimmed them a little bit. You've got a lot of views to it. You've got a crap ton of comments on it. And why don't you tell people first off where they can find the video, what the video is about, and then briefly describe your thoughts.
Well, here's my thoughts: is that a lot of people are very terrified for America right now, and they should be. And they believe that that day by day that their country is being torn out from under them. A lot of people, but well, it's not just a belief. It's what you hear the term all the time: a global reset. They believe that in some form or another, that you're about to have the dollar drop right out from underneath their feet. Joe Biden is out there. He's angling for another one of the giantest bills in history, trillions of dollars on claimed infrastructure. Executive orders have been signed to go after the guns. Your border is being overrun. People have a lot of thoughts about the election that I won't get into because I don't want to get censored. I have to be careful. I have to be careful what I say, Matt. That's the number one thing. I'm amazed that it's the Lord that's protected even things that have been said to stay up online.
Well, but the one thing that I've got to stop you on right now that really bothers me.
Yeah.
Is this push for green energy. Now, I believe we should become self-sufficient. I believe that we should try to find alternate forms of fuel. I believe that. I think fossil fuels is probably not, you know, the best long-term thing. Okay. But electric cars? Not so much. Electric cars at this point are actually worse for the environment than a good old-fashioned gasoline car. And here's why.
Yeah.
An electric car, you've got to make the batteries. The batteries have to be made in Africa, where there's no EPA standards, because, God forbid, we make those in the United States. In those plants that they make these things, they create acid rain, they create all kinds of pollutants for the environment. Not to mention harvesting the lithium on the backs of young children at this point, which is basically what it is. You have 12-year-olds mining for the materials to make this stuff.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Let me keep going on this for a second. So these batteries are only going to last for 5 years. Okay. You have a 5-year battery. Now, to get energy into this battery, to get it to recharge, at the volume of what we're talking about right now, you would have to add more power plants online. So are you going to add nuclear? Are you going to add coal? Or are you going to add some kind of natural gas? There's that word again. Okay. We don't have enough renewable green resources to make that kind of energy. I'm sorry, but these bills that are being proposed today, if you go read them, are laughable. It takes no account for our economy. It takes no account for what it's going to actually do. And here's the other thing. Let's back up for a second. In Texas, during the Christmas time, in the Christmas season, we had a scenario where the power grid almost failed in Texas, not Christmas time, during this last winter storm. During this last winter storm, the power grid almost failed. And what people don't realize is how vulnerable the power grid is. Once the power grid fails, it almost takes 30 days to get the power grid back to normal. During that storm, gas prices in different fossil fuels for these power plants became so expensive that some of these energy corporations that own these power plants actually filed for bankruptcy afterwards. So here's a 10,000-foot view. There's something fishy with that. I don't know what it is. It doesn't make logical sense. Anybody with half a brain, after what I just told you. Oh, let's go back to this. I haven't finished this last point yet. To get the electricity from the power plant to your car, to make it charge. Oh, God, the efficiency on this. Think about how many miles and miles and miles of cable this energy has to... This is ridiculous. And you're talking about charging a car with like 20 amps of current. That's like running your entire air conditioner to charge your car. And we're going to add this load to the power grid when we couldn't handle a winter storm in Texas? Now, I don't know where all that lines up. I have to say that because to me, I'm watching the gas prices. I paid $30 at the pump the other day, a couple months ago, $30. I just got done paying $60 to fill up my vehicle. It's doubled. Makes me scratch my head a little bit. Anyways, I don't know where that lines up with where you're going, but that's my perspective right now. There's something fishy going on there, and you're talking about a global reset.
Well, there's a lot of people that believe, Matt, that it's, and I'm one of them, that we're going to watch in the coming months that a lot of, not just that, that it on a lot of fronts, that things are going to get worse. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the reason people really like the prophetic stuff. I'm sitting here right now looking at Roger Stone's page. And this was somebody that Trump had given he didn't give a full pardon to, they wrongly attacked Roger, in my view. They charged him, I think, with 7 felonies, which is an interesting number of felonies. But anyhow, Trump didn't pardon him, but basically gave him time served on the charges. Well, part of the prophecies, because Roger has been a friend of Trump's for many, many, many years. In fact, Roger's who put Donald Trump on the ballot, is my understanding. I remember a number of years ago, you never would have seen Roger Stone post anything about the Lord. I don't know if he was a Christian or not a Christian or any. He's a political guy. Well, I'm looking at a post of his right now, and he says, Kim Clement prophesied, if the Lord has given me a 4-point plan to save America and smite the deep state. And he's got a picture of himself throwing a stone at Goliath, one of our giants from our earlier conversation. Well, part of the prophecies that Kim gave, and by the way, they live right out there, not very far from that. Well, Kim has died, but his family, was that Donald Trump would still be in the picture, and that a lot of things would get worse. In fact, in those prophecies, it says, and there would be darkness in this section and blackouts in this section and that section. And I don't think you've seen the worst of any of that yet, even with the blackouts. You said there would be 2 impeachments. Who could have imagined that? He talked about... But in the end of it, kind of all revolved around this big financial reset, if you will, in the prophecies. And when he gets that part, and he keeps referring to Trump and the prophecies as my David that I've set aside for this hour. He will take a simple stone. Remember the name. This is me quoting the prophecies verbatim, and that's why Roger Stone has got this little stone out there for the giant. And I've never seen Roger post anything like this before. I just happened upon this tonight on this new social media site called Parler that's a lot less censored. But where all of those prophecies tend to lead, and I think what gives people a lot of strength, is that God is saying there is going to be a stone for the giant. But before that time, there's going to be some heavy stuff, even heavier than I was paying $30 for gas, but now I'm paying $60. But I think a lot of people are seeing that, Matt. It's not just you. I've talked to a lot of people that are Democrats that are on each day, they're becoming more
disenfranchised.
Right. They're waking up is what they're doing. And the Lord said, I've shaken the Democrats, and I'm going to shake the Republicans even more. He said, I'm dissatisfied with what emerges from both parties. And there are a lot of people that, you might be one of them. I'm definitely one of them, that views all of these people in there, or largely most of them, as crooks and creeps and worse. And in fact, if you spoke the truth about many of them in there, you would get censored from all of the main platforms, which is why I watch what I say.
Where can they find the video that you posted online that's got a bunch of this information on there?
Well, the last one we put up, which was a good present, and I put it together in about 48 hours, is called The Prophecy of the Two Presidents, and it's up on Facebook.
And I think it's also up on YouTube as well, is it not?
It is. It's up on both. And you can watch it for free.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that up on radiodisclosure.com, and you'll be able to go up there, folks, and you'll be able to find it. Yeah, Trey Smith's website is godinanutshell.com, and he's got a lot of cool, interesting stuff up there. You can go up there and watch everything from the Nephilim to Noah. Yeah, there's a lot of cool videos up there. He's got some books, too, that's also pretty interesting if you're into that kind of thing. Like to say thank you to the International Shortwave, WTWW, for carrying us tonight, and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure.